In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? When I first made the connection between this week's most prominent headlines and our appointed gospel, I had to laugh. Because here we have the soon-to-be disciple, Nathanael, making an offhand comment about Jesus. As we can see from his words, he's all but ready to dismiss Jesus based on where he comes from. It's a bit of comedic irony for the reader of John's gospel, because we have the vantage of knowing that Jesus is more than just good. He's the best person to ever walk the earth, which is something Nathanael quickly learns. But the point of this text isn't to feel self-satisfied in Nathanael's mistake or anyone else's. Just notice how quick Jesus is to redeem Nathanael from his error in judgment. We are to see ourselves in his example and experience the same kind of redemption. And we all have our own versions of what he said. At least, I know I do. Said out loud or only thought, can anything good come from fill in the blank? Can anything good come from a place towards which we have prejudices? Or can anything good come from a person who looks, acts, or thinks in a way that's not my ideal? Our version of Nathanael's remark could be anything about a person that we use to dismiss them or look down on them. Things that are not based in evidence or divine truth, but in our own assumptions and beliefs about superiority. But just imagine if Nathanael's story had stopped there. What if Philip hadn't urged him further? In the text, after Nathanael makes the Nazareth remark, Philip says, "Come and see." What he means is, have a mentality where you come and take a look for yourself and find out who this Jesus person actually is. If Nathanael's mind had been made up, he would have missed out on the greatest decision of his life, one that would impact all others. Likewise, if we remain fixed in our stereotypes, assumptions, and judgments, we miss important opportunities. Like, we might not get to meet people we'd really enjoy if we got to know them. Or, if we are preoccupied with our judgments, we're probably missing things that we could learn from the other person in our differences. Or if we're busy comparing ourselves to others, we might be neglecting our personal best. When our concern is just being the best in the room, or at least not the worst, we might not put ourselves in situations that challenge us. Moreover, if we're focused on comparing our successes with our colleagues, we might one day find that we've been chasing their dreams, not ours. If we see ourselves in Nathanael's example, we don't need to shame ourselves for it. After all, the root of these judgments is insecurity. And if we are judging others harshly, it's likely that we're being just as harsh with ourselves. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Do not judge, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." You could read this as a warning that God will judge us based on our judgments, but I read it as saying that the way we judge others is the way we judge ourselves. And it's no coincidence that areas we're most judgmental are often the areas we feel the most insecure. Thankfully, Jesus wants to redeem us from these errors in judgment, just as he did Nathanael. And he shows us the way. When he says, "Follow me," he's not just calling the disciples to be his entourage. He's calling them to follow him in a lifestyle change, one that finds its own security and sense of self in God and is able to fully appreciate oneself and the people around us. It means that we don't have to compare ourselves to others to get a sense of our worth, and we don't have to dismiss others in our insecurity, fear, immaturity, or small-heartedness. As we follow Jesus and grow in faith, we find that we have big hearts that were made for embracing all sorts of people and walks of life. We also have God's grace, which helps us challenge judgmental thoughts and go and see for ourselves. To come and see is to discover what is affirmed in today's psalm, when the psalmist declares that we are all intimately known and knit together by God while we were still in the womb. God knows everything there is to know about us and loves us. We don't have to judge to feel affirmed. We are already good, marvelously made, as the text says, or fearfully and wonderfully made, as it is in other translations. The more comfortable we are with this reality, the more secure, happy, and at peace we will be. What might we do to encourage the come and see mentality? In areas like this, we can often identify what the problem is, but have a harder time knowing what to do to change our thinking. So I'm going to throw out some ideas as examples. One option, when we hear the inner voice saying, "Can anything good come out of fill in the blank?" we can pay attention to it. We can't help it when a thought comes into our head, and we are wired to notice difference. Yesterday at a conference I attended on racial reconciliation, someone said, "When I see a person of color in my historically white neighborhood, I notice it. And then I just want to slap my brain for even having that thought." I loved her analogy because I can't tell you how many times I've wanted to slap my brain for thinking things that don't fit with my values. We can't help having the thought. What we can do is notice that it's happened and consider what it has to show us about our biases. Like if we should be getting to know people from another race, culture, or way of life, or educating ourselves in these areas. These days, it's easier than ever to do through books, films, and online articles. There are also great events happening in Rockford all the time, trying to improve cultural competency. Yesterday, five people from Emmanuel went to the conference that I mentioned called Faithful Desegregation. Our goal is to take what we learn at this series and from programs that are being launched in the National Episcopal Church to help us develop our own Emmanuel study, one aimed at becoming the beloved community that Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of, and that is the dream of our Christian faith. Another thing we can do to practice the come and see mentality is reversals. When we notice difference, we can celebrate it. We can think, "How cool to have diversity in a place that I'm not used to seeing it." Or, "Isn't it great that we do things differently and we get to experience different approaches?" Or, "I love that someone wore something different than what I would have worn. Wouldn't it be awful if we all looked the same?" Along these lines, if we find ourselves thinking, "I don't know why they're doing that," We can tell ourselves, that's right, we don't know. We never know the whole story for another person. Recently, in a parenting blog, the author talked about how she used to judge parents who gave their kids iPads in restaurants, and how she would think, oh, how sad that they don't want to talk to each other. Having four kids of her own, she became much more aware of how those moments of parenting in public are such a small piece of a much bigger picture. Of the iPad example, she said, we just don't know. Maybe they're the most attentive parent in the world, but they've been on 24/7, and this is their 1 hour to get a break. Or maybe they only got 2 hours of sleep. And this goes not just for parenting, but for any of the choices that people make that are available for public view. We don't know where others are coming from, but we can be supportive. And we can look for those areas where we can complement each other and lend a hand. In my experience as a parent and as a human being, this church has been a haven for such generosity of spirit. Finally, it's worth saying that all of this also applies to how we treat ourselves. Our judgments can lead us to dismiss or look down on ourselves just as easily as they do others. So some of the work in the come and see mentality is also to take a closer look at who we are and appreciate God's incredible handiwork that is us. In the passage, Jesus says to Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. When we're not busy with our judgments, we're more open to see the great feast of beauty, diversity, and richness that is all around us. And when we follow Jesus in his way of life, when we see every person as a beloved child of God, we will see amazing things. Amen.